RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for another Tech Tuesday. Stephen Sykes is back this Tuesday morning. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. I'm going to be interested to hear about the Innovation Expo, which you attended weekend just gone.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and that was in Christchurch.
Yep, over the weekend, Friday and Saturday, just been.
Plenty of innovative people in Christchurch, eh?
There are. I must say the show wasn't as big this year as it was last year, and just based on the number of exhibitors.
Right.
But there was still lots of good stuff to see, which we'll talk about today.
Yeah, we'll get to it shortly. Let's hear some feedback. Who's been in touch over the last, well, it's 2 weeks since we talked.
It has, yes. So Tony says that I watched The Circle on Prime the other day, shockingly like The Cage, as mentioned by Mr. Sykes. A good visual wake-up call and worth sharing with people who are starting to see the controls creeping in.
I see. You know what gets me about that bit of feedback?
What's that?
That someone's actually watching a TV channel. Really?
Mm.
Prime TV? Really? Okay. But probably people heard it here first before any other imitation of what you did on Prime TV.
Perhaps.
I used to make ads for Prime TV when they launched.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day. I think they were originally an Australian setup. But it's so quaint that people watch TV channels still. I can't relate to that. All right, what else have we heard?
Somebody has wanted me to ask to spell the decentralized web address. That was Brighteon. That's bright as in something that's not dim. So brighteon.io. That's the decentralized platform run by the health ranger, Mike Adams.
All right. Yeah, I've seen him talking before. Okay. Do we have any more feedback?
Yes.
Yep.
Claudine says, hey, Paul, I was happy to hear you mentioned the Morse code sounds in the middle of the night. I've heard those for years, and they used to drive me crazy. My husband can never hear them. Aha, relieved to hear you know what I'm talking about.
So there's someone else. Okay, not just me going crazy on my own.
No, it's good to go crazy together as a collective.
I haven't heard it for a while.
Okay.
But maybe you have to really sort of, like, listen in to hear it. But it hasn't sort of been a thing for a while. Right. But it is a thing. I'm telling you, it is a thing. I'm not going crazy. And
no, it is a thing.
Sorry, who was the emailer or texter just before that you mentioned? Who was it from?
Claudine.
Yeah, glad that there are other people around who hear that. Yeah, and the husband can't hear it. He probably thinks she's crazy.
Well, maybe he just doesn't listen, period, so to anything.
Tell him that Paul hears it.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for the feedback?
No. The last
one
says, what car does Stephen drive and what do we buy? So I have diversed a little bit. So I have a 2016 Nissan Leaf, I have a 2009 Ford Ranger, and a 1989 Pontiac Trans Am.
Yeah, we know about the Trans Am.
And the older car actually looks the newest.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm collecting old aeroplanes, and the oldest one is the only one that still flies. Funny that. I saw a picture over the weekend of a lineup somewhere near Dunedin of Valiant Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, now there's a car. There's a car. Still looking good.
That's what they say, are timeless.
Yep. It was a great picture. And they're all in good nick because people look after those things. I want one of them.
Yeah, that'd be a good ride. It'd be a good ride.
They'd be worth a bit now, wouldn't they?
Yes.
All right, so thank you for the feedback, everybody. 2057 if you want to text, inbox at realitycheck.radio if you want to email. Before we get to Stephen's report on the Innovation Expo that he's been to Friday and Saturday, IRD hashing. We talked about this in our legal hub with Mary Nilsson, the tax lawyer, kind of touched on that, but you want to draw our attention to that as well in this Tech Tuesday. So what are you thinking?
So I want to point out that hashing is not encryption, so be careful not to use those words interchangeably. And having read some of the reports, like particularly with what Radio New Zealand and others say, they talk about reversing the hash. Well, actually, you can't. And when IRD say that it's irreversible, they're technically correct. But what they've actually done in order to match up, so like phone numbers in New Zealand are fairly predictable because we all have one of a very few number of area codes. Phone numbers are either six digits long, if it's an older mobile number, maybe seven, and I think there might be some eight. So being able to pre-compute, you know, all the possible phone numbers that there could ever be in New Zealand, and so you, when you have the hash, and I think they were using SHA 256, you can pre-compute all of them, and then you go, well, here's one hash value, and let me compare it to something that maybe I'd swiped from Facebook. Do they look the same? Yes, they are. Therefore, I don't know, I don't need to know the value that the IRD hash because I've figured it out for myself. So technically, you're not reversing, you're replicating the hash by remaking it, because the data you start off with is exactly the same. And hashing is typically used for ensuring quality of data. So if you download something off the internet, maybe a big file, they often publish the an SHA 256 hash value, or maybe SSA 512. And when you download the file, if the hash value equals what we say it should be, you know there's been no corruption in the file. If you were to take the entire text of War and Peace, change a single character, it wouldn't matter what it was, you could change a full stop into a comma, redo the hash, and that hash value will look radically different. You can eyeball it. You don't have to be techie. You just look at one output of a piece of string and go, well, that looks radically different to the original. And this is how you can match, do the matching with phone numbers. I pre-compute all the hashes for all the phone numbers, and then I go, yep, I can now work out what someone's number was.
Right.
And that's, okay. And that's the privacy issue. And of course, you can, when you pre-compute these, that's when you can start using rainbow tables. And rainbow tables, whenever I hear that term, I think of Alison Holst, because every time you watch one of her cooking shows and she's making something, and then all of a sudden she says, well, here's one I prepared earlier, which is what rainbow tables are. They're pre-computed.
Right. I used to have Alison Holst on a radio show I did once in Wellington. She'd come in, and she was a very, very nice woman.
She used to do cookbooks for the What Now show when I was a kid as well. I still have them.
Do you? She must still be around, but she'd be getting on now, boy.
She's probably a listener of ours. So who knows?
Hi, Alison. I think her son was took over the recipe thing.
Oh, yes, that's right. I can't remember his name. But the Taxpayers Union have created a tool. It's at a website called ird-leak.nz, and you can use that site to submit an OIA request asking to see if data about you has been leaked. And just over a week ago, Taxpayers Union have said that more than 7,000 people have used the tool so far.
Okay. That's a few.
That's a few, yep.
So ultimately, I sound like a dumb person here, but ultimately, what is the problem here? Data leak, you know, what is the threat here? Where does this all, you know, go south?
It's, in simple terms, it's a data leak. So I don't know who thought that using hashing was a good idea or was a good way to do this. So in my opinion, I'm not too sure if this is outright incompetence or what it is, but the fact that you can easily recreate the data is, you know, by recomputing phone numbers or any other data that's being made, that's how you can find out what the data actually is when you're looking at it.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It's a privacy breach. It's a data breach. So somebody somewhere thought this was a good idea.
NIRD.
Presumably, yes.
Yeah. One of their geniuses.
In inverted commas.
Okay. All right. 7,000 so far. Wow. All right. Do you want to get on to the Innovation Expo now, Stephen?
Yes. So I went and checked this out, and as I said earlier, there didn't seem to be as many exhibitors, yet the exhibitors that were there were still kind of interesting, and there were a bunch of talks that happened on Friday afternoon and throughout Saturday. And through the different talks, there seemed to be a strong theme or push or nudging, if you want to use those terms, and I think I do, that we should all be going 100% electric. But at the same time, we're told to, pretty much in the same breath, this was an observation I made, it's like, okay, well, we should all go 100% electric. And then they say, reduce your use of electricity. But hang on, you've just said go 100% electric. So, like, we don't seem to be generating a great deal more electricity, but hey, go 100% electric anyway. And, like, my mode of thinking is like, well, how about diverse sources of energy? So when one's inappropriate, you've got others. And there's the continual push of climate change, and everyone is keen on decarbonizing. Yeah. I asked a question that's like, well, during one of the talks, and I said, well, climate change is less of a concern for me based upon things that I've heard from a variety of people. What is more of a concern, I feel, is the probability of when the Alpine fault might pop its cogs. So I said, well, you know, how are we prepared for such a thing? And I'm not too sure how well we are prepared in the sense that, well, yes, we've had a lot of big buildings shaken down now. So the things that we're going to break pretty much have, but there's going to be a bun fight for resources in the South Island one day, whenever that happens.
Yeah, but it may never happen. That's the thing.
No, depending on who you ask, we're overdue.
Yeah, we're overdue for everything. We're overdue for something that, you know, wiped out the dinosaurs. I don't know how many. I mean, you can't think of these things, really. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, well, whatever. It's interesting about the observation on electricity. Go all electric, but don't use any more.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, yes, that doesn't actually make sense.
No, it felt like mixed messaging to me.
Yeah.
It
might be more than that. It's more about, it's almost implied in there is a reduction of a quality of life. They're expecting, I don't know, everyday people, because the people who are pushing this probably don't anticipate they'll be in this situation because they're too smart. But the average person has to kind of trim their life. You know, there's no freedom. Sounds like it's being crimped.
Yeah, and the ability to have aspirations.
Well, and that's part of it. Yeah. So, and the whole buy into climate change. Not surprised about that. But does anybody sort of have an open mind to any of this as you go through and chat? Have they ever thought that this may not be, you know, solid as they think?
I don't think any of them want to entertain the possibility that even however immediate or remote it might be, that they could be wrong.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? So what were some of the real smart ideas that you saw anyway? You must have seen some.
Well, I learned more than I thought I ever would about roads. So I spent some time with a chap at Fulton Hogan who had a stall there, and they've got road mapping technology that as you drive over roads, it identifies potholes, stores their location, scores them according to the severity. So it helps decide what things need to be sorted out over other things, you know, prioritize. I asked directly, and I said, how has the closing of the Marsden Point, been for you guys? And the facial reaction was seemed stronger than the words that I was told, because they said they regularly send 2 to 3 people to Singapore to ensure the products that they're using for the roads are actually suitable for New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they said that NZTA were actually considering taking on this role for all roading contractors. So whether it's Fulton Hogan or Isaac or whoever, so that each company doesn't need to send their own people overseas all the time. They also have asphalt recycling, so they re-grind it up and repurpose it. They also said that back when they were making roads in the 70s and 80s, the road depth used to be about 200 mils, but because we've got such a much greater quantity of vehicles going on the roads, that it'd be making them 400 deep instead.
Okay. Yep.
And the Waikato Expressway, he said, was 800 millimetres deep and was made up of about 3 layers.
Okay. Well, I've driven over that many times. Didn't notice that, but I guess yeah, lots of traffic, right, and heavy traffic as well.
Yeah. I also went and checked out iTron. I went and spent some time with them last year, which is where I learned a lot about LED streetlights. So one thing I didn't have clear on my head last time was, because I was told they are operating on the 900 megahertz frequency, I immediately thought, okay, that's probably LoRa. But actually it's not. It's their own private network using a proprietary system, and they use the IPv6 internet addressing scheme. So they're the company that provide a lot of streetlights, air quality measurements, and particularly to help reduce carbon emissions. There goes the carbon reduction thing again.
Oh, yeah. Bow to the god of it.
And
on your knees.
Looking at iTron's website, you can see that not only is it used, their technology used by Christchurch City Council, but you've got Hutt City Council, South Waikato, Rotorua Lakes Council, Northland, Hamilton City Council, Auckland Transport and Auckland Airport, and Spark as well.
Doing all right. A few contracts there.
Yes, and as far as I can tell, I think they're originally from, the Netherlands. I think.
I was in Christchurch for the NZDSOS conference.
Right.
And that's the first time I've been in Christchurch since the earthquake.
A lot's changed.
Boy, hasn't it? Do you want to ask me how it felt?
How did you feel?
Not like it was last time.
No.
It felt bitsy.
I can understand that. Yeah. Yep.
And gappy.
Yes, there are gaps where there's nothing.
Yeah, so and how many years later are we? Over a decade, so.
Yeah.
But I get it. I mean, there's a lot of damage, and I get that. But it's just interesting to go back there and update the, reset the impression set earlier. Anyway, just saying. It was a great conference, though. Okay, so that's really interesting to hear about the roads and having all that gear to go. Here's an idea for Fulton Hogan. Why don't you combine that equipment with something as you go over it, recording it, that fixes it at the same time, so you don't have to come back to it. Now, there's an idea.
There might be version 2.
We see that way, clip, clip, clip. Okay, what else did you see there? Anything else worth mentioning?
Yeah, there are a bunch of other things. What was interesting was Hayden Padden's Hyundai Kona EV rally car. So it's a full electric car. It's proof of concept, weighs about 1,500 kilos, does a 20-minute rally on a single charge. It's got a couple of Brusa BLDSC motors that can deliver 286 horsepower each. The total power output's 400 kilowatts. which provides four-wheel drive effectively. Each motor will provide 310 newton meters of torque. It's got panels. A lot of its panels are made by Kiwi Fiber. Kiwi Fiber is an upcoming company where they make fiberglass from the Harakeke New Zealand flax bush that you typically find growing in.
Oh, gosh, so it's made of flax. Areas.
Yeah, in places.
Basically.
Yep. Yeah. The bonnet, and I don't know if the boot was, but certainly the bonnet was, and certain panelling on the interior doors. It's made of the same material by the looks of it. Also on display next to the vehicle, Hyundai have a hydrogen fuel cell generator. It looks like a really long spa bath. It's what it looks like. And there's actually two hydrogen centers in there. Weighs a ton, and it'll charge the car from dead to full, or about 80%, or was it full? I can't remember. It might have been 80 in about 20 minutes. And that hydrogen fuel cell system will create 160 kilowatts of power and has a voltage output range of 250 to 450 volts. So it was a tank, but I imagine with time that'll get smaller. And part of the reason it was so big is because it's got radiators on it, because the thing is designed to just get plonked on the ground and just operate. So it doesn't have the benefit of air flowing over it if it were happen to be in a moving vehicle.
Right. Okay.
But that was interesting to see. So it was designed to provide electricity in places where power might not otherwise be easily available.
Got a feeling that hydrogen might be the big solution in the end.
Well, there was another stand by Oasis Aero, and this might bring back memories of the Hindenburg from 1937 when it went bang.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of design faults with that thing in the first place. But Oasis Aero are making autonomous airships that can take an 11-kilogram payload. They're about 9 meters long. It'll run for 10 hours, and you can equip it with LiDAR, thermal imaging. And the idea with this is to detect faults in transmission lines. Orion were there too. They were saying that they used to use aluminium bolts, but they've switched to stainless steel because they have thermal imaging cameras on drones, but they still use helicopters. And the idea with the Oasis Aero is that you can send one of these miniature airships to go and check out for faults so you can do preventative maintenance, because with the thermal imaging cameras, when you've got high resistance in place due to faults, then that kind of thing will show up.
Yeah, way cheaper than a helicopter.
Way cheaper than a helicopter, that's for sure. There was a big presentation by Michael Healy. He was talking about Smart Christchurch and the transitioning to a resilient and sustainable city was his talk.
So it's not resilient or sustainable at the moment, is it?
Yeah, I suppose it depends on who you ask, but I guess
it's the Alpine fault goes.
It's a long transition, I guess.
Yep, okay.
So,
sorry to interrupt.
No, good. So they've been looking at things like soil moisture management. They've got smart bins. So they've got smart rubbish bins that you put rubbish in and it compacts the rubbish, and when it gets full, it phones home and says, hey, I'm full. They tried it out with recycling, but it failed because not everything can be recycled. You can't guarantee what people are going to put in the bin in the first place.
That's right. Welcome to the human world.
Yeah, pretty much. So that doesn't work at all, unfortunately. They've been trialing tree canopy surveying, and they've got imaging graffiti recognition. So they've been using AI to identify repeat offenders' work all across the city, so they can work out who's done what graffiti. And then they try and go, well, instead of desecrating things, how about you apply your skills in these ways?
More creatively, less damaging on publicly owned walls and things. Oh, that's nice. So give them like an artistic opportunity.
Yes. So actually there's a website, smartview.ccc.govt.nz, where you can actually go and look up to see where all the street art is in the city. They've also got things on cycle counters, environmental information like UV, weather, tides, river levels, air quality, and water quality as well, where the scooters are around the city. And they also have a greenhouse gas emissions tracker as well. And they say that 53.8% comes from transport, and so they say.
Yeah, of course they would.
So it's and they've got vehicle counters as well with the cameras that they got from iTron. And you go, okay, well, this is kind of nice. And then it's easy to be cynical and go, well, it would take us a software update and you've got a 15-minute prison right there, 15-minute city prison right there.
I just wonder if we need to know all this information, Stephen. I mean, just knowing, having it known because you can is one thing.
Yes. Well, really? There was one thing that was actually really, really good in the presentation, and they have on system, on trial, a system called Attentus, I think that was what it was. So these are early fire detection systems. I've got them up on the Port Hills, Bottle Lake Forest, and Littleton. So
I got no problem with them.
So that's good because in the old days they'd stick people up in really high towers with a pair of binoculars, and your job all day long was to look out for fires, which is really boring.
Yeah, well, it might be boring, but it's still an essential thing, and maybe you could do that as well. So you've got it covered two ways. But apart from it's just busybody stuff, isn't it? Nosy Parker stuff.
Really. Yes. There was one thing that was there. They had a small stand, and I thought it was really cool. It was called Tree Children Box. Tree as in the things made of wood with leaves on it. This was about as no tech as you could get. So the website's treechildren.co.nz, and they make these activities in a box. They're designed for kids from 4 to 10 years old, and they have a whole bunch of fun outdoor exploration activities. The whole point is to learn about native plants and wildlife, and their mission is to help kids flourish through deeper connections with nature. So I thought, given all the whiz-bang tech stuff, and they had a whole lot of gaming areas as well, I thought that was a nice natural thing, no tech, bare bones, get back to nature thing to have on display. I thought it was nice.
You want to mention the website again or the address again?
Yeah, sure. It's treechildren.co.nz.
treechildren.co.nz. Okay. All righty then. Anything more to tell us about, or have we come to the end of this Tech Tuesday?
We've come to the end of the Tech Tuesday, but there's one thing that I've intentionally missed out because it's going to form what we talk about next week, and that is medical.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, medical.
Medical, because there was a whole bunch of there was a talk about medical stuff. I don't want to give too much away for spoilers, but there's this particular three-letter acronym in there, and it starts with W, ends in F and has an E in the middle.
I think I've heard of that one before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay. There's
things that they've been saying in the areas of health, which came up in the weekend. And there's other health issues, but technology to talk about and their shortcomings.
Okay, we'll do that next Tuesday. Thank you, Stephen. Good to have you back.
Thanks very much. See you then.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.